Okay, Rabotai, welcome. Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet. And I think it's kedai for us to start, maybe just run over this sugya once again, where we start on our Purim issues. Okay, so we had a machlokas over here, what the din is between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, if they were Nityabmu, or if they were Chotzu, because obviously, according to Beit Shammai, that the Chalitza is necessary. And according to Beit Hillel, there's no necessity. So if they would go ahead and they would be miyabim, if Beit Shammai would be miyabim, so then, of course, it would be an Issacharis, and Beit Hillel would pass the children. And if they would go ahead and be cholates, so according to Beit Hillel, would be nonsensical. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, they would be possible for kahuna. Anyway, so ask the Gemara, what's the point? And we explained that we just wanted to make it clear what the machlokas is in both directions. Now, that started us on the third line, the big line, third big line, on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We brought the sugi of the Megillah. The Megillah is read, b'chadasar, b'shlemasar, b'shulshasar, b'arbasar, b'chamishasar, lo pachot v'lo yoter. So the Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, and of course we bring this in here because we're concerned about, is there a problem of different groups in Klal Yisrael acting in totally different ways in halacha? I mean, this is an unbelievable thing, that people that are mamzerim, according to one sheet, are dafka the result of doing a mitzvah, according to another sheet. How does that work out? So we start off easy by just first defining what the iser of lo tidgodedu is. So Reish Lakish started with the idea that Chazal were koveya different days for kriya of the Megillah. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, why isn't this a problem of lo tidgodedu? Lo tasu agudot agudot? And asked the Gemara, wait a minute. Lo tidgodedu doesn't mean don't make different groups. Doesn't it mean legufe? Doesn't it tell me that you're not allowed to tear your skin in tsar for the death of a loved one? The Omer Achmana, lo tasu chabura lamit. No, says the Gemara, that's not the issue. Because to tell me that, it could have said lo tigodidu. It says titgodidu. It means make yourselves into gidudim. Shmamina lahachihu de'ata. So now the Gemara says, yesterday, maybe it's all for that, to teach me that halacha, not to make yourselves into agudot. What makes you think that it has anything to do with tearing your hair on the mate? Now, it's a little bit strange because the pasuk is talking about the response to the mate. So how, banimatem la'shem elokechem, and so on. Okay, so the Rishonim explained why I would have thought that. But I don't want to go back into yesterday's daf. And so we said it could have said lo togodu. Like it says in the pasuk, yogodu al nefesh tzaddik. So that would have meant to make a group and get together to kill the tzaddik. My lo tidgodedu shmamina tarte. So it's coming to tell me both halachas, lo tasu sritala mate, and not to make these separate agudot. Anyway, this was the kasha that Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan. Now, strangely, Rabbi Yochanan never addresses the question. Instead, Rabbi Yochanan starts talking about something else. I mean, he says, so how come you didn't learn it from elsewhere? Ad kan, I think this is where we got up to yesterday. Ad kan lo shanita makom shenagu lasot melacha barvei psachim ad chatzot osim makom shenagu shelo lasot ein osim. How come you didn't ask from a better place? I mean, you already learned the sugya and psachim. There's places that do melacha on erev Pesach in the morning. There's places that don't do melacha. And Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, what does that have to do with anything? I'm talking to you about a case of iser, because you're not allowed to read the Megillah on the wrong day. It's ma'akev you. The Om Reb Shama Bar Av Om Reb Yochanan. We learn out from the pasuk of the Kayemet Yimei Purim Bizmanehem that these are different zmanim, mutually exclusive zmanim. Zmanim are betik nulem chachamim. So what are you coming to bring to me a question of a minag? A minag isn't what I'm asking about. A minag, I understand that everybody knows, okay, this guy's got his minag, he's got his minag, so it doesn't matter. But if you're telling me this guy has this halacha and this guy has this halacha and he's saying I will not be yotzi with his halacha and so on, that I find to be problematic. So as I said, what's very strange here is that we never find that Rabbi Yochanan responds to this question. He just seems to ignore it. And he says, well, if you're going to ask a question, you should have asked the question from somewhere else. It's a very funny way to be dealing with it. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan held that the kasha that Reish Lakish was asking is absurd. So why would that be? So now there's the different approaches to this are end up becoming very important lahalacha. Why indeed would that be? So the Ritva brings, and so do other Rishonim, the Rosh brings this as well, that by the Megillah, the issue has nothing to do with a machloket. It's not that we have different shittot. We're simply being koveya halacha in different places. That each place, the same person who today is a ben krach, if he gets a moving truck and he goes ahead and becomes a ben ear, he's going to have the din of the ben ear. So how would it be a machlokas? Nobody thinks that anybody else is doing wrong. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan didn't even answer him because he felt it was absurd. And therefore, he was telling Rish Lakish, I mean, don't you have a better place to ask? Because the Megillah is completely irrelevant. Okay, so then if that's true, then it would mean that there's no din of Lotid Godadu unless each one of the Gedudim believes that the second one are doing the wrong thing. But if each one agrees, no, you're doing exactly the right thing for you because you live in a mukaf. And the other people say, you're doing exactly the right thing for you because you live in a year. How could that be? Did go to do? Does it look like two Torot? And basically, this is the Psak Halacha, according to the Magen Avraham, where there was a big shaila about whether to be a Noeg, the Tainus in Poland and in Lita, they made a Tainus on the 20th day of Sivan. And that was a terrible event in which there were, the Tainus was reaffirmed throughout history. There were three different occasions. But the first one started at the time of the Rabbeinu Tam, where there was a blood libel. It was a horrific blood libel. And the Rabbeinu Tam even wrote about that Tainus of Chaf Sivan, that this Tainus is going to be as big as the Tainus of Tzom Gedalia, which it wasn't. And in the end, it was forgotten for another 100 years or 200 years until another story happened. And then again, it was forgotten for another couple hundred years until another story happened. So anyway, in the end, they were koveya this to be a Tainus on the 20th of Sivan. So, but this is only a minig in Poland and in certain places in Lita. So the Magen Avraham was asked, is there a question of lo tidgodidu, of people who are insisting that today is a Tainus and they're davening like a Tainus Tzibor and so on? So he answered based on this Gemara that this is the same reason that Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have responded to Reish Lakish for the question that he asked about the Megillah. Because nobody is saying you're doing the wrong thing, Bichlal. They're simply saying that if you lived here, this is what you would do. And he brings other inyanim like that, that have to do with places where they were mocked, but on a certain type of fats, not to eat it, and so on and so forth. There's actually a beautiful explanation of this. Is the reason I'm being Marchiv HaDibur on this is because it's Purim, and we're still being Isaac in Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, because remember, we're still in the middle of preparing for Pesach with this. So the Meshech Chochma brings that's why it says Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, together with the Pesach of L'kayemet Yumei Purim Ha'ele Bizmanehem. So he says that's the pshat. Since Zmanim Arbeitik Nulehem, so since this was the Takana Milechatchila, that nobody should think somebody else was wrong, and everyone is noyeg ke'emes, like their din. So therefore, there's no machlokas. That's why it says, divrei shalom ve'emet, because since everybody's doing the right thing, ve'emet. So then by definition, it's divrei shalom. The fact that somebody else has to do it on a different day is not going to cause any kind of machlokas. It's very interesting because Tosfos doesn't agree. How do you see Tosfos doesn't agree? Because Tosfos over here says, what do you do about the fact that the Bnei HaKfarim are allowed to be Magdim Liyom HaKnisa? So then there you are. You have people that are being Noyeg in the same place differently, right? So how are you going to explain that as to this one does like Isminig in his place, this one does like Isminig in his place? So instead of simply saying, well, that's the way it was Kavua, instead, Tosfos says that it must be, we spoke about this in Megillah, it must be that the halacha is like the Yerushalmi. Then when it says that the Bnei HaKfarim are able to go on Mondays and Thursdays, the previous Monday and Thursday, to read the Megillah, that's how we have Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, right? It means not that they're able to do that in the cities, and they have to go to the city to get a Balkore. No, it means that since they only get a minyan together on Mondays and Thursdays in this little village, so therefore they can read in their own village That's how the Ushami learns. They can read in their own village in the previous Monday and Thursday, so that it shouldn't be a lotid godidu. So according to Tosis, enochinami. So fine. This is basically, as I say, this is the way that many of the Rishonim learn. Now, there's another svar that the Ritva brings, and the Rashba also brings, which is that the Bnei Kfarim are not forced into this. They could sometimes be makdim if it's convenient. They could not be makdim if they don't want to take advantage of it. And one year they could do one way, and one year they can do another way. So clearly nobody sees this as being an iser in different zmanim. It's just a kula for them, because as the Gemara said, because they are there in order to be the pizza delivery. Fine. So therefore, we end up with it not even being a kasha l'chor, according to Reish Lakish. Now, there's another very important diak in the Gemara that Ramesha Feinstein makes. And he says, you see from the Gemara that we just read, that the Gemara says, don't we need that pasuk to tell me that ein osin srita al hamet? He says, you see from there that this is not an esmachta. This is an actual diaraisa. Because if it's only an esmachta, the rabbanon aren't makpit to say, well, you need the pasuk to tell me something else. You need, obviously, every esmachta is like that. But if you're asking me, you need the pasuk, so how can you learn out from it that there's this halacha of lotid godidu? Apparently, the lotid godidu is mamish a diaraisa. And the truth is that it's mashma in many of the rishonim, that it is a diaraisa. The Ritva assumes over here also that it's diaraisa. Okay, so now let's continue on in the Gemara. So Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not talking about a minhag. I'm talking about an actual halacha. So what are you bringing me a minhag for? Says the Gemara, well, isn't there by Pesach also a halacha? And over there, Hotam Lavi Surah Aviva Tnan, when it comes to the night before, the night of Bedikas Chometz, there it uses a lashon of Isser Veheter. Beit Shammai Osrim, you're not allowed to do melacha, and Beit Hillel Matirin. Omar Le, Hatam Haroe Omer Melacha Hu Deletle. Somebody who's not doing melacha, they don't think that that's because it's Osir. They think, oh, of course, he's not doing melacha. He's too lazy to do melacha, or he has nothing to do, or he's too tired. Why would that look like two different Torahs? Now, note that this is a crazy answer, because it's all very nice, one side to the other. But what about the people that are doing melacha? Won't the people that are doing melacha, libe de Beis Hillel, won't Beit Shammai people say, what, these guys are doing melacha, but it's us who do melacha? So why is answering only one of the sides of the problem a solution to lotit godidu? So you see from here an amazing thing. Lotit godidu is not a question of do not do things that cause machlokasin. It's a completely different issue. Not to do things to cause machlokasin, that has to do with not being mishana aminik in front of other people when you're with them in order that they shouldn't be upset. So that you should be nayig in like when you go to their mokum. But this question is defined by how it would look to an anthropologist who knows nothing about it. So if an anthropologist would see a group of people, some people working and some people not working, would he conclude that there are two different sets of values and two different religions that they're part of? Absolutely not. He would say some people are busy and some people aren't busy. So that's a completely different question, apparently. We're going to see later on that the Gemara expands the conversation to apparently include even questions like this. And therefore, we're going to have to reconsider whether this is actually true, la halacha, that just because it doesn't look like it to an anthropologist means that it's not nogea. Okay. Now we finally get to our sugya. This is the reason that we brought all of this up. How do you explain that? That is very much a completely different way of acting. I mean, according to one side, these people are mamzerim. According to one side, these nashim are asuras lakuna, and so on and so forth. And according to another side, you're not allowed to marry them because of your vamalashuk. I mean, what the heck? What's going on over here? Says the Gemara, no, what do you mean? You thought that Beit Shammai actually does like they believe? Is that what you thought? And they actually have a Tzoras Ereva go and get Yibum? That would be a big problem. Lo asu Beit Shammai k'divrayim, and they actually ended up agreeing with Beis Hillel because they didn't want to cause this machlokas. Now, remarkably, there are some Rishonim who learned that they did this afilu lekula, meaning that they accepted the kula of Beit Hillel in order not to cause a machloket. Others learned that it means that they made sure that they wouldn't make yibum, because that would be creating mamzerim, but in private they could give chalitza. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan himself, he holds that actually Beit Shammai did, in fact. So Reish Lakish tainet to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that I didn't ask for my Mishnah is because I didn't believe that Beit Shammai would actually go ahead with it. But Rabbi Yochanan holds, of course they went ahead with it. What are you talking about? Asu v'asu. Not only did they do it for themselves, they were asu to be married, that's the halacha for everybody. And this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether in fact, Beit Shammai did, is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, lo asu Beit Shammai k'divrayim, and Shmuel says, asu k'divrayim. Now the question is, when? Because remember that there were two very different periods in the history of the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. One was before the Bat Kol, and the other was after there was a Bat Kol that came and said that the halacha is like Beit Hillel, b'chol makom. So when are we talking about this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which is the same machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? If you're talking about Kodem Bat Kol, so then why wouldn't they have done it? Why in the world would someone say that Beit Shammai didn't do what they held the halacha? Why wouldn't they do the halacha? Now, this is a little bit weird, because we just said why they wouldn't do like the halacha. They didn't want to be over on Lo Tidkodedu. So how come all of a sudden we're forgetting about that whole discussion? So there's a number of different approaches to this, right? So some taina, because even if I would say the answer is lo tidgodedu, so that wouldn't tell me why Beit Shammai should give in bedafka to Beit Hillel. Why not do it the other way around? I mean, it would be strange that dafka, they were the ones who gave in. So lemaisa, I mean, the Rashba says that the point is that, like, he learns like that, but others learn that the point is, the Ritva learns, that what they should have done was either to continue getting bashed between each other until they reach a conclusion that they both agree on, or to agree to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's idea. In other words, we need to find a way out of this. So what we could do is we could make a takana that everyone should give chalitza, and that way at least we don't get into this problem. But why would they just give up? And why would they not be osa? That was the question. So if it was before the Bat Kol, there would be no reason to say that. And if it's li'achar ha-Bat Kol, so then why didn't Beit Shammai give in and listen to the Bat Kol? So my time the Mandi Omar, they did insist on doing their way. Says the Gemara, either way is possible. The Bat Kol is not important. Because, look, we might be talking about before the Bat Kol, and we might be talking about Yibayotem al-Achar Bat Kol. I'll explain you how. Yibayotem akodem Bat Kol, and the case is that Beit Hillel is the rove. So if you hold that Beit Shammai didn't do because they felt that they had to go according to the rove, to Beit Hillel Ruba, Masha Inkein Mandi Omar Asu, the only time Kiaslina Bataruba went, we say that, that would only be in cases where basically it's the same, meaning that the two sides are of the same madrega. So then you go according to the rove. But over here, they are not of the same madrega, because over here, even though they are the rove, nonetheless, the halacha might be anyway like Beit Shammai. Why? Because Hacha Beit Shammai mechada de tve. Beit Shammai were much more sophisticated in their arguments and were much clearer. And because of that, they said, even though normally we go according to the rove, but in this case, we shouldn't go according to the rove because we have so much more intelligence on our side. Now, this is, on the surface, an absolutely crazy thing. Can you imagine that a Beis Din should weigh the different votes of the Beis Din according to the IQ scores? I mean, obviously, I'm joking. IQ doesn't mean anything. But according to the level in which we view the people as chachomim, right? So instead of taking a vote in Beis Din, we're going to say, well, the vote of Rabbi so-and-so is only worth 39% of a full vote because he said, how can you have a Beis Din like that? That is nuts. So what do you mean we should go according to the Rove only if they also register the same intelligence? You might as well throw out the whole concept of Beis Din and Rove in this thing. It's mind-boggling, right? So the Chazon Ish says that look, obviously, if you are in a real Beis Din, there's nobody in his right mind that would say that we weigh the votes. That's for sure. We see this all the time. The Nasi, the Av Beis Din, they have exactly the same level in terms of their vote value as the newest Talmud in the Beis Din has, right? That's for sure. Because that mitzvah, the Torah, acharei rabbim latot, that's the din of how you view the Beis Din. But, says the Chazon Ish, the din of acharei rabbim latot is only said about a sitting court. Now, what we're talking about over here, this idea that you go baser rov deot in a machlokas, like we do, we take a look at what do most of the shitas say. Language is the way that the Torah paskens, and so on. That has nothing to do with the real din of Rov. The only reason that we're comparing it bichlal, that should be according to the Rov, is because since Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were considered to be the entire, we're going to see later on in the sugya, the entire Klal Yisrael is looking to them to how to be noeg, and they have a din of shnei batei din and bi'ir achat. So therefore, we wanted to know what Beis Din is Yafa. That was the question. Do we go baser the Beis Din that is the majority, or do we go baser a Beis Din that is more mechudad? That's a reasonable question. What Beis Din should Klal Yisrael go to? Now, what about the question of Yachid v'rabim halocha karabim, which seems to mean that you go wherever there's a machlokas, so you add up the shitas, right? Says the Chazon Ish, this is a very important halocha, says the Chazon Ish that is no different than any of the klolim of how to paskin. That's all that it has to do. So like we have a klal. You go according to Rav B'Yisura, and you go according to Shmuel B'Mamona. Is that a din of the Araisa? That's a klal in Psak that the Gemara has gone through and has recognized that this is the way that we should follow. That's true about the general din of go acharei harabim or go acharei, in this case, the question of should we go acharei the ones who are more clever? But it's not a halacha in Beis Din at all, and therefore do not confuse it with this question at all. So it's just very interesting that's how the Chazon Ish learns, because, I mean, basically in the Sefer HaChinuch, that he says that he brings a Raya Gufa from our Sugya, that if it wouldn't have been for the Paschal, that halacha is Beit Hillel, so then Beit Shammai would have held that we go according to the Shita that is Mechudad Tvei. And he says that Bechlal, where there's a machlokas of Yechidim and Rabim, there's no klal of Yochid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim necessarily, we see from our Sugya, because maybe we should go Basar the Mechudadim. Okay? I mean, some learn, this is how the Shach learns, that the din that we should go like the Mechudad was only true according to Beit Shammai. But since we paskin the halacha like Beit Hillel held you go according to the Rove anyway. So it turns out that we don't have that as a consideration in Psak anymore, because now we should follow Beis Hillel about how to paskin. Interesting. I mean, that's how the Shach actually brings it, in how to be knowing with Isser v'Heter. Fine. Okay. There's other issues, but I mean, as you can see, this is an extreme. This daf includes some very important yesodes in how it is that we're supposed to be noeg bechlal in these inyanim. And I mean, there's also a beautiful Rambam, one of the tshuvas of the Rambam, where he's writing to people who sent him a question that was nogea machlokas and the tzibur and so on, and he writes very, very powerful language. And he says, like, you know, you people who are chachamim and nevonim, you know perfectly well how it is that a machlokas destroys kehilas And the din in Klal Yisrael is that any kehila that calls itself B'Shem Yisrael and that follows the Teras Meisha and that believes that they come from Yaakov Avinu, and they're called B'Shem Yaakov Yikarei, they are careful at any cost never to get into that kind of situation. It's very, very powerful language. Anyway, so getting back to this question, were we talking about before the Paschal or not? So if we're talking about before the Paschal, then it would be dependent on the question of whether we go bas to the Rov or we go bas to the Mechudat. Or you could say, Vibay Tema was talking about Lachar Paschal. So those who say that Beit Shammai never did it, Chas V'Shalom, because of the Paschal, they didn't do it, Danafka Paschal. Mashenkin, those who say they were Oseh, that is going to leave it to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua Shita is, we don't listen to Paschal. That was the story that Rabbi Yeshua got up on his feet and he says, Lo Bashamayimi, and why should we pay any attention to a Paschal?
Where did that happen?
Oh, no, it's Barnea's neighborhood.
And the Yerushalmi says that this Paschal is also in Yavne. I counted four Paschals in Yavne. And Shmuel, and I forgot the other one, but this is the Yavne.
So Yavne is a place of Paschal. Okay? We'll have to take our next trip with Barnea to hear the Bat Kol in Yavne. So according to the Shita that Beit Shammai did do, why were they indeed not afraid of Lo Tidgodidu? Lo Tasu Agudot Agudot. So that we're coming back to that basic question. If you're telling me that Beit Shammai did not have to listen to the Rov of Beit Hillel just because of a Bat Kol, and you're telling me that the fact that they were Rov is not enough to be Mechadish, that Mechayev Beit Shammai, but to avoid Lo Tidgodidu, they should have gotten into some kind of commonality, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri suggested. Let's all agree that we'll give chalitza, or something like that. Or Beit Shammai should have at least made sure that we won't allow someone to marry a person without getting chalitza instead of this yibum. The Beis Hillel should have said we shouldn't allow them without chalitza. I mean, they should have gotten together. Omer Abaye, because Lo Tidgodidu would not apply. That's the answer. Ki Amrinan Lo Tidgodidu, when is there a din of Lo Tidgodidu? Only if you have, let's say, two batei dinim in one town. Halalu morim ki divrei Beit Shammai, v'halalu morim ki divrei Beit Hillel. So over there, you have in the same city two different religions. Avoshtei batei dinim b'shtei ayarot, where you have two batei dinim and they're not even in the same area. So you always have that kind of idea. It's the same as people who live in the Ayarot or people who live in the Krachim. And it's the same idea, right? Omerle Rava, no, it doesn't help you. Because Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, because of the fact that Kol Yisrael were Noyeg Alpi Divrayim, they are like Shnei Batei Din and Be'ir HaChatami, because they actually impact the entire Tzibor. So therefore, what are you telling me that it's not Nogea unless it's Be'ir HaChat? This is Be'ir HaChat. And so how in the world were they marsha themselves to do this kind of thing? So it's unbelievable. Now, Abaye obviously holds, as the Ritva explains, that there's no din of Agudot Agudot in terms of the people who hold the Shitas themselves. They have to do what they hold is the Halacha. But others, that's what it means. Others that are coming to Paskin, and they are not able themselves to come to a conclusion, so then they should have agreed. Either we're going to paskin like Beit Hillel, or we're going to paskin like Beit Shammai. But you can't have different groups going like Beit Shammai and other groups going like Beit Hillel. That's a very interesting way to see the Gemara. But we certainly did not expect Beit Shammai to give in to Beit Hillel. Anyway, so the answer, therefore, what would we do? If Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, k'shtei batei dinim, therefore, it says, Rava, we have to adjust your answer. Ki amrina lo tidgodidu, when do we say that you would be over? That's if you have one bezdin in a town, and you've got the bezdin which is split. Peleg morim k'divrei Beit Shammai, u'peleg morim k'divrei Beit Hillel. So over there, you have to have a back and forth until you're able to take a vote and determine. You can't have different anhogas. If you have two completely different kehilas in the same town, that's fine. Two different kehilas is not something that they don't understand. Here, these are the Litvisha kehila, and this is the Hasidisha kehila, and they have different nuschaot, and they have different ways of doing things. That everybody understands, that they're consistent in the inyonim of their kehila, that that is not in any way a lotid godadu. That's what he's suggesting. Okay? That would be very important. Asks the Gemara. Tashma.
It says ir echad.
What?
It says ir echad, not kehila echad. It says dafke that's in one city, so I can get 2 kilos in one city. I don't understand.
Rava just answered that it's only if you have in the same city one bezdin, but if you have two different bate dinim, which is the equivalent of two different kehilot in the same city, right? They follow completely different bate dinim, that then that's okay. And because of this, this is where we come out with that halacha, halacha lamaisa, that we allow people, even though there's different minhagim and so on, we still allow for these different minhagim because we understand them to be different kihilot. So the question, I mean, these are questions that are nogea all kinds of things. Let's say, this comes up very often, let's say you have in one Beit Knesset, would it be mutter for some people to wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed and other people not to wear tefillin? Mishnah Berurah says no. That would be lo tigodadu. If you don't wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, it's not right for you to come to a place where people wear tefillin and not put them on. You would have to put them on also. Maybe you should make a bracha, says the Mishnah Berurah. You certainly have to put them on. And Reb Meisher Paskin, the same thing. And he says you should be meicha in people that do these kind of things. So you have the same, this is a thing that came up very, very often, because this was a lot of different minhagim that was, became very bitter, that it looks like shnei minhagim. But what about like different nuschos? Is it okay to have different nuschos? Because since we have different kehilas, so maybe when it comes to different nuschos, those are different minhagim. Because according to the Gemara said that, Reish Lakish said, I never asked you about a minhag. So the Ritva learns that that's true. In other words, la halacha, lafi, the way we come out, it's not that the Gemara changed anything. When Reish Lakish said, you're bringing me minhag, that's really true. We would not have asked you from a minhag. That's the way the Ritva learns. However, there are others who learn that you don't say, don't make shinuyim in the Nusach where people can see it. And this is now a very common question. The difference between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim, or the difference between Nusach Sephardim and Nusach Ashkenaz. Do you say Vidui before Nefilat Apayim? This is a very major kind of thing, because you have some of the Kehilot are sitting there and saying a Vidui and banging on their chest and so on, and other people are sitting down and putting their head down and like, we got no vidui to say. So is that kind of thing mutter in the same Beit HaKnesset? Or is that because it's very nicker? So some of the poskim actually write that you're not allowed to change from the nusach in something that people could see. And you're going to go and you're going to say vidui where everybody else is doing the filas apayim. That's usur. And here is where the Magen Avraham, there's a difference between lo tidgodadu and lo yishaneh mipnei ha-machloket. Lo yishaneh mipnei ha-machloket is said on minhagim. Even if you paskin that lo tidgodadu is not said on minhagim. People get very upset about changes in minhagim if it's not something that is well known. Not to mention the fact that there are definitely poskim that paskin, and the Rambam even brings this in the Magen Avraham, that the thing about I wasn't talking about a minhag is not true in the Maskana. And in the Maskana, there's even a lav of lo tidgodadu on minhagim, which is the pasus from the Lashon of the Rabbim. The only question is it something that looks like shnei bate dinim, or is it like all one bezdin? Now, it's true, and I must say that in my own opinion, this, I think this is, I always held this, and that is that many of the poskim, including Rav Moshe, who brings up this issue, and including Rav Avadya Yosef, that since it's already very mefursam, everybody knows that, oh, he's following Minhag Sfard. He's following Minhag Ashkenaz. He comes from such and such a place, and so on and so forth. It's a global village now. And once it became a global village, how could anything that was a different minhag possibly be ma'orer or machlokas when you know that there's a million people that act like that and a million people that act like you, and nobody is coming to claim that you don't have a right to do that kind of thing? I mean, did you ever see such a thing that somebody should say, hey, why are you saying tachanun? You should be saying, I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, you're davening sfarad. That's all that the result is. So then how, once it's a global village, how in the world would there be questions of lo tidgodedu when it would clearly be different kihilot? Because now the kihilot are almost universal kihilot. In which case we'd have to say that it's the same, always the same thing as different kihilot in the same city, which Rava was just matir as having different bate dinim in the same city. So you have the Bezdin and the Chevra Kadisha with their minhagim of the Teimanim. And you have the Bezdin and the Chevra Kadisha and God only knows what else of the Sfaradim. And you have the Bezdin of the Kihilas Kedesh HaChasidim with their own different minhagim about burial and a whole different Chevra Kadisha. Did you ever see the Chevra Kadishas going and shooting each other from a Maharav on the way into the Beit HaKvarot? No, they have a holiday that is called the holiday of the Chevra Kadisha HaKlali. Everybody gets together. Okay, so then that means that l'chora, we don't have to worry about these kind of things anymore. Okay? I mean, this is nogea, possibly other issues, which is the question of keeping second day yontev and so on. If you're in a place where people don't keep, are keeping a second day yontev and you yourself are not, these are issues that are extremely, extremely nogea and are in flux in terms of the psak halacha lamaisa, are truly in flux, Bizman Azev, very much because of this daf in many different ways. In any event, Toshma, you're claiming that what? That there's no issue and that we are not going to worry about it being even in the same town? Take a look at this braita. In Rebbe Eliezer's town, not where anybody else was, Bimkomosha Rebbe Eliezer. So over there, they would cut down trees on Shabbos in order to make charcoal, in order to make steel, in order to make a knife for a surgeon to do milah on Shabbos. Why? Because remember, his shita was that Heksher mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. So they would actually do this. B'mekomosh Rabbi Yossi Haglili, they would eat delicious cheese chicken. Are you ochlin bisar of bechalav? Because it's only bechalav imo. So bechalav imo means I never saw a bird suckling milk. So because of that, it's mutter. Then the shayla is whether this is a gzeirah derabbanan or not. But over here, it says that it's only in their town. B'mekomosha Rabbi Eliezer, yes. But b'mekomosha Rabbi Akiva, who paskin that you're not allowed to do echshar mitzvah? Absolutely not. They would not do such a thing. Tanya, klal omar Rabbi Akiva, kol malacha she'efshar la'asota be'erev Shabbat, eino dochas ha'Shabbos. So you see that we have this issue, and they did it in their other town, and apparently that was not a problem of lo tidgodedu. Yeah, well, of course it's not a problem of lo tidgodedu. I say that to you before. I told you, if it's in a different town, there's no problem. Mikomot, mikomot, shayne. We've all agreed that lo tidgodedu doesn't apply to two different cities. The only question was about the two bate dinim in the same city. So why are you asking me? What were you asking? The ka'ari la mai ka'ari la? What exactly were you asking? No, I was asking that, look, these are things that are like universal practices. I mean, God help us. You know, what, they eat cheeseburgers because they're made out of chicken? Or maybe the kasha was only similar, the kasha is only from Shabbos. These people are mechalo Shabbos. That is something that gets such a big reaction that it should have the din of a mokum echad where you have an actual machlokas. So even though you have two different bate dinim, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Akiva, so according to Abaye holds that two bate dinim in one town are considered to be lo tidgodedu. So this should be a raya that Rava is right and Abaya is wrong, because certainly everybody's going to be talking about this, aren't they? Look at these people being mechal Shabbos. That's what you would have thought. Okay, so Kamash Malan, look, did anybody talk about this? That's what it's coming to explain? No. Okay, so apparently even the Nogea Shabbos, there's no lotus go to different places. Okay, well, take a look at this Maisa, you know? Rabbi Abohu, when he came to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's house, he would move a lamp on Shabbos, where the lamp went out, and now he moved it, because now it's no longer Muktzah. But ki ikla la'ata de Rabbi Yochanan, he would not, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that you cannot move it. Remember that we have a machlokas about whether there's an Isra Muktzah or not an Isra Muktzah. So we paskin that there is no Muktzah on Shabbos. Remember, of course, the whole sugya about Muktzah. There is no Muktzah on Shabbos means that a Dover Shemalachta Le'Isr can be moved, Letzorach Gufo, and so on. It doesn't mean there's no concept of Muktzah, but it doesn't mean there's no such thing as Muktzah if you set it aside. Okay, that's the whole sugya on Shabbos. I could go through the whole sugya here. But in any event, isn't that, it's clear that in Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's place, people moved a lamp on Shabbos. And in Rabbi Yochanan's, they didn't. Isn't that lo tidko to do? And you're doing this again. We already said in different places there's no lo tidko to do. What the heck are you doing again? No, that wasn't what we were asking. I was just concerned about the fact that Rabbi Abohu seems to do different things in different places. I mean, what does he hold? Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Abohu. So, I mean, assuming that Rabbi Abohu holds a Rabbi Yochanan, that you're not allowed to move it, so how is it when he comes to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's place, he can use it? We're stam asking, according to this approach, we're stam asking, how does he explain his behavior? No, the behavior was that Rabbi Abohu held the halacha not like Rabbi Yochanan. He held that, like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, you're allowed to move a lamp when he would come to Rabbi Yochanan because of the covet of Rabbi Yochanan, lo havi metaltel mishum kvoda to Rabbi Yochanan. But wait a minute. I mean, he's got the guy that's always mishamish him, right? Yayika shema. So if he's seeing Rabbi Abu move here and not move there. So some learn. So what will he think? Others learn that since the Savrashi understands it, since he thinks that Rabbi Abu allows him to move a shraga on Shabbos, so he will do that even in front of Rabbi Yochanan. No, obviously he tells him that you're not allowed to do this in Rabbi Yochanan's area. So getting back to the question, did they or did they not do what they said? Beit Shammai. Now we're going to come to our Mishnah, and here is where it's all nogia. Tashma. It says in the Mishnah, Ava pishelo osurveil matirin, lo nimne'u Beit Shammai, milisa nashim mi Beit Hillel, velo Beit Hillel mi Beit Shammai. So there was no problem. They would marry into each other. Now, doesn't that prove that Beit Shammai never did what they said? Because I understand that if Beit Shammai did not actually carry out this halacha to create Mamzerim, that would explain why Beit Hillel would have no problem and they would actually be marrying Mishumachi Lo Nimna'u. But if you're going to tell me that Beit Shammai did these things, so how come they weren't careful? I mean, I understand Beit Shammai didn't have that much to be careful about for Beit Hillel, right? Because according to Beit Hillel, what's going to be the problem? That they're going to be matir a yavamala shuk, which is only a lav. And if it's only a lav, then there wouldn't be mamzerim that were created from it. So Beit Shammai weren't worried in marrying into Beit Hillel because they're not going to hit any of the mamzerim. But why in the world Beit Hillel would marry women from Beit Shammai if they're mixed with Mamzerim? Ela Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Amai lo nimnu, aren't they b'nei chai ve'krisis or Mamzerim? How could they marry? It must be that Beit Shammai actually was careful not to let it happen. Unless you try to tell me that maybe Beit Hillel holds that there's no Mamzer unless it's a chi of Misa. But if it's a chi of Kares, it's not a Mamzer. It's not true. Because Rabbi Elazar says you should know that even though they have this machlokas about what the din is of tzoreis, they are made in that the mamzer is a result of an iser erva, which is an onush kores, and that you shouldn't think that they're also arguing about whether it's going to create mamzeres. Modim shein mamzer elami mi she isuro iser erva va anush karet. So obviously, if Beit Hillel did marry into Beit Shammai's family, it's clear that Beit Shammai never did what they claimed they would do, and they did not actually hold that they should give Yibum. No, not necessarily. Let's say that Beit Shammai created Mamzerim. But if Beit Hillel wanted to marry a woman in Beit Shammai's family, they would go and quietly inform Beit Hillel, listen, this girl is not for you. According to your Shita, she is a Mamzeret. And that would break the Shidduch. And that would mean that they would have to keep records for generations. So in other words, Beit Shammai was so machshiv, the sheet of Beit Hillel, and was so careful not to allow Beit Hillel to be nichshal in something that they held was usher, that they actually maintained clear records of who would be considered to be a mamzeret according to Beit Hillel. Liolam asu, and d'mod oilu uparshe. And I'll prove it to you that they used to keep records. Because, look, Hachinami Mistafa, take a look at the end of the Mishnah. It says, Kol ha-taharot v'chol ha-tumot shayu elu mitarin ve'elu mitamim lo nimne'u osim taharot elu al-gabi elu. They still borrowed each other's dishes. And even though there's places where something would be tamei aliba de beisila, we had the sugya in idyos of the chumras of Beit Hillel, and they retore according to Beit Shammai. This is the way Rashi learns the sugya. Tosfos learns exactly the opposite. That 90% of cases, it's Beit Shammai stuff that should not be borrowed from Beit Hillel, not Beit Hillel from Beit Shammai. But anyway, she has a different girsa. But nonetheless, they used each other's stuff. Now, if you're going to tell me that the people lending these kalim would keep clear records, can you imagine, about what is considered to be tamei or not, that would explain that they would go ahead and borrow. But if you're going to tell me that they did not have records and didn't bother informing the other tzad, so I understand why Beit Shammai didn't mind borrowing from Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel was chumra. Tosfos has exactly the opposite girsa. I understand why Beit Hillel wouldn't mind bothering for Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai is l'chumra, because the few cases where Beit Hillel is l'chumra are such rare cases that we wouldn't worry about it. That's how Tosfos' girsa is, and that's how he learns the sugya. But Beit Hillel mi Beit Shammai, why wouldn't they prevent themselves from borrowing? They should be very careful about it. Because Taharis to Beit Shammai are considered to be Tumah, according to Beit Hillel. Must be that Beit Shammai let them know. Shema Amino, you see from here that they let them know. Says, but I don't understand. You already explained to me that it must be that they let them know from the fact that Beit Hillel were ready to marry into the family. So what are you gaining by bringing the second case? What, that proves more? How does that prove more that they let them know? What, because of Tumah's with Taharis? What's the difference? So why is this better? My umay da'ay mi'ach, why is this better than the part about marrying into the family? No, because you see, I might have thought that it's not that Beit Shammai were so careful and they let Beit Hillel know. It's that the story of a tzoras erva that goes and gets Yibum is a famous thing. People know about it. They talk about it. Oh, yeah, that family was terrible. The first husband died. She went ahead and got Yibum. So therefore, Beit Hillel figured they would know on their own. But it's not that Beit Shammai kept records and told them, Kamash Malan, even when it came to Kalim. So they had a Kalim repository of what things were okay for Beit Hillel to borrow. I mean, that's unbelievable. So you see how careful they were with the other Shita, that they were Mamish Machmer on it, the way they would be Machmer on themselves, to know exactly what the halacha is. Now, Gufa, I just want to get back to what you said. You said that Rabbi Elazar told us that Afa Pishamechlu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Bitzorot, their modim, so when you say they're modim, who is modim to who? What do you mean modim? What does the first part have to do with the second part? Exactly. So man modim, that what? Beit Shammai is modim to Beit Hillel. In other words, that we agree that if the tzoras erva gets married, like we claim, is mutter, that what? Even so, we are moda that they're not mamzerim. Obviously, they're not mamzerim because that's only a lav, pshita. She's only b'nei chai ve'lavim. B'nei chai ve'lavim are for sure kosher. So it must mean that Beit Hillel agree with Beit Shammai. In other words, that if a tzoras erva does do yibum, which according to Beit Hillel is an iser koras, that they're not mamzerim. What do you mean they're not mamzerim? They are mamzerim. This is a case of krisis. So I don't understand. What do you mean modim? That's what we're talking about. So they are mamzerim. No, it means that Reb Elazar is trying to say that Beit Shammai agree with Beit Hillel. Meaning, don't think that we hold like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds that there's mamzerus even from Chai Ve'lavim. It's Kamash Malan that no, we're all agreed for sure from the Chai Ve'lavim that there is no Chi of Krisus. Because if they had agreed with Rabbi Akiva, so then they would have held that anybody that came from that Yevama is actually going to be mamzerim. So we should know that no, Beit Shammai doesn't consider the people that married without chalitza to be mamzerim in the family of Beit Hillel. Toshma. Now, I'm going to bring you a proof that Beit Shammai did what they said was the halacha. Toshma. Af al pi shenechlaku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. They had lots of machlokas. They had a machlokas that is no gea yisurik chorus. They had a machlokas about the tzorot, just here in our Mishnah. They had the machloket about Achayot. That was the case of their four brothers, and two of them were married to two sisters, and then the two sisters came and they fell as the Achot of the Zekuka, and so on. Beit Shammai allows them to be married after Yibum if the people weren't makbid. And they went ahead and did Yibum anyway, even though they're not allowed to, because the Yisr of Achot Zekuka told me to Rabbanan. So Beit Shammai says they're allowed to stay married. Beit Hillel says, no, they need a get. And even though they argue in a get yoshan means where a husband writes a get, and then he seems to have made up with his wife, and he's mityached with his wife, so you're not supposed to use that get, because we're afraid it was mevatel the get. And then the question is over there, what if you go ahead, and based on giving that woman in the end that get, the get yashan, she went ahead and got married. So that's the question of whether you're allowed to. Beit Shammai holds you can use that get. Beit Hillel, you're not allowed to use that get. And then there's another question where he gave a get, and then he's seen together with his ex-wife. He's seen in a hotel together somewhere on vacation. So obviously they've been sleeping together. The question is, was that for purposes of remarriage, or is it just an old bad habit? That's the shaila. Do we have to assume that they've gotten remarried or not? Another.
Those three words.
Yes, sorry. There's a good reason to skip that. Because there's a lot of question what the suffix eshatish is exactly talking about. So the shaila is, there's different approaches over here. Whether a girl that can do miyun is considered to be married or not, or Rashi says that maybe it's talking about a shchiv meira who says, I'm giving you a get today if I end up dying from this sickness. So then the get would be chal from today. So the question is, what is the halacha during the period between giving the get and dying? So over there, he's not allowed to be alone with him. And the question would be, that is that considered to be, if he's alone with her, is she considered to be an eshes ish, if somebody else takes her, not, and so on. Then we have another question. How much does it take to be mekadesh an isha? So according to Beit Shammai, you need a dinner, which is called kesef. Kesef and shava kesef. Beit Hillel holds pruta, v'shava pruta. So here you can have a case. According to one sheet, according to Beit Hillel, she's married to Joe. And according to Beit Shammai, she's married to Shmo, because Joe only gave her a pruta. And Shmo gave her, after that, he gave her a dinner. So which one is she married to? I mean, these are serious questions of mamish eshes ish. Afal pikein, lo nimnu Beit Shammai milisa, nashimi Beit Hillel, v'lo Beit Hillel li Beit Shammai, l'lametcha shechiba v'reyut noagim zeh lazeh, l'kayei ma shenemar he'emet v'hashalom e'avu. So they were very, very careful. You have to do things that are going to be sholem. And Rabbi Shimon says, well, they actually were nimnu where it was a vada yisr, but they were not nimnu from a suffix issue, which we'll talk about what that means later on. But we assume that a vadai would be, let's say she was a yibum, she was a tzora that had chalitza. That's a vadai. But a suffix is like the case of the guy who was alone with his wife in a hotel. Maybe he had in mind to make kiddushin. Fine. So, yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, also, if you're going to tell me Beit Shammai did what they held, so then that would explain why, when it's a vadai, Beit Hillel was careful. But if you're going to tell me they never did it anyway, what was there to be careful about? Lama nimna'u. There would never be a case that Beit Shammai had allowed to go ahead and do it, so it's clear that they did do it. Says the Gemara, that's still not going to help us understand Rabbi Shimon. V'tizbara, it's still not going to work, because let's say they did do it. So I understand why Beit Hillel would be nimnu from Beit Shammai, because they were talking about Chiyav Kris and their Mamzerim. But why would Beit Shammai be Nimnu from Beit Hillel if we're only talking about Echayim Ve'lavim? Now listen, it's not really true, because some of these cases that we talked about would be Mamzerim with the question about how much money for Kedushin and so on. That would be Nogia. But we're only asking this because it was focused on the case in the Mishnah about Tzora. So that's why. So Kediyom Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Nitzchal L'Tzora Atzma, like we're going to see tomorrow, that we have to think about what would be the din of marrying the tzora herself. That's what it was about. So, Achanami lo nitzcha ela letzora atzma. When Reb Shimon said that Beit Shammai would not marry a woman from Beit Hillel, he wasn't talking about the totsa'ot of possible Isurim, because it's only in Isur life. It's talking about marrying the tzara. Since according to Beit Hillel, this tzara is not chayav in Yibum and Chalitz. And according to Beit Shammai, she's a Yevam Lashuk. He wouldn't marry the tzara. That's obvious. So then what's the difference between Vadai and Safik? So Ma'ashlam and Avadai, the Isuru, isn't the Safik also Isura? No, not min ha-Safik. That was a misquote. It means min ha-Stam. If there wasn't anything known to be a problem, they wouldn't have a problem, because anyway they would be informed if there was a problem, not to go around asking, excuse me, what heksher do you use? They understood that Lamaisa, they would be informed. If it wasn't the heksher that they would use, they would tell them, listen, you don't want to eat this, you don't eat that kind of stuff, and we eat this other heksher, so to speak. So Ma'akam Ashman said, what's the chiddush in the Braisa? That what? That Ava v'reut no'agim zebezeh, we said that. That was the opening of the Braisa. No, Kamash Malan, we just repeated Rabbi Shimon in telling me that it's all the Braisa that was said in Rabbi Shimon. Tomorrow we're going to get into the sugya of why not simply make a takana that saves us from all of this and make a takana to avoid the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Make a simple takana, anyone who dies in a situation leaving a tzaras erva, the halacha is there's no yibum, but there is chalitza. That way Beit Hillel is happy, nobody's going to be miyabim, and if you do chalitza, what's the big deal? And according to Beit Shammai, we'll also be happy. All right, so we didn't do yibum, at least we did chalitza. That is a major issue, which we will discuss tomorrow, and actually we're going to end up discussing much later on the Masechet again, because according to some, we did make such a takana in later years. And this yet to be continued, Bezrat Hashem. Whew, boy, this Masechet is really chock full, let me tell you. But the very different flavor. It was certainly good to have a little bit of Megillah like the old-fashioned days today. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day. Bisurot tovot. Alavai. And Shia Sabecha, Uvarech Esnach HaLasecha. Or Eim V'Nasim Ad HaOlam. Getting closer.